Well, we had a number of baptism in the other service, and so if you want to fill that spot in, just let me know. We'll work you in at the end. Thank you for coming. I know that it's a big holiday weekend for a lot of you. I really appreciate you being here. This week we start a new series of messages. The last 4 weeks, it's called Made Alive for a Purpose. And that God works in our life, brings life to us, but he has a reason for it. And so, and I want to just talk to you a little bit. You know, hopelessness is an easy trap to fall into. I mean, you don't even see it happening. Sometimes it can happen by like a really traumatic event, a loss or some big moment. But for most of us, it's just a lot of little things. It's a series of things, that kind of a mentality we fall into. We don't even realize it. We wouldn't even call it hopelessness. We would just see it as negativity. You know, it kind of creeps into our attitude. And you might not even know how to put your name on a name on it, but it just kind of comes out through your life and the way your humor, just the way you approach things. It's this kind of low-grade hopelessness. And most of the time it happens through disappointments in our lives. And I think a lot of times we set ourselves up for these disappointments, and some of it is not really totally our fault. They're just things that we assumed were going to work out a certain way, and they didn't, right? So I'll give you some highlights of things that I've thought at different times that didn't quite pan out exactly like I expected, like this one. When I grow up and move out, no one is ever going to tell me what to do ever again. Do you remember that one? Yeah, have that play. Or when I'm out of school, life is going to be easy. I mean, no problem after that. Try getting 4 months off from your job, you know, right? Or how about this one? This is very, very common. People think this, and I hear this, and I even thought this. When I get married, all my problems will be over. Yeah. Woo. Ah. Sue, quit laughing. Anyway, how about this one for you that are moving down the road a little bit with your offspring? You think this, you're thinking this right now. I don't want to crush your hopes. I know it's Easter and everything, but when my kids get older, then I can rest. Or for some of you that are on the road a little bit further, this one may come into play or have already come into play. When I retire, all my problems will be over. It's going to be just easy street. Yeah. And then as life tracks a little bit further, then you start to have these conversations with yourself and with your friends. They go kind of like this. Yeah, after I recover from the surgery, everything's going to be fine. And then you begin to like talk about all your medical stuff. You know, that's your new hobby. Wow. And there's lots of other things like this. But all these things over time can bring us to realize that a kind of maybe something we really don't want to face, that this world is never going to really be enough. It just isn't. You thought it would work out. Maybe holding on to those that you love or holding on to dreams that you've held on to. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for holding on to people and loving them and hanging on to your dreams, but this world is just not enough to get us there. You see, even in yourself, this world is never going to give you enough. This world by itself will never give you enough to be fixed completely. You just aren't going to have enough time. Not in just this world only. We just won't live long enough. And that's why the Apostle Paul, when he talked about the resurrection of Christ, when he talked about what we celebrate today, he said, if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are the most, we of all men are most to be pitied. We're like pathetic if we think that. I know you think, man, this is starting out really up. What I'm saying to you is, but sometimes the way to get up is you've got to realize kind of where you're at. You got to kind of recognize what's gotten into your head and is affecting you. He goes on to say, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and you remember from your Sunday school days that in Adam, when Adam sinned, the great forefather Adam, when he sinned, the world fell and our relationship with God was broken and our relationship with ourselves was broken. Sin and shame entered the world and our relationship with each other was broken. In other words, conflict and war and entered the world and our relationship with the world we live in was broken. Everything was broken. By one man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, death entered the world. But listen to this. So also in Christ all will be made alive. That word made alive is an amazing, amazing phrase. He's really saying if through this, our forefather Adam all died, this was all lost. Through Christ, he's the next representative of man. All are made alive that come to him. Made alive. This word made alive means to be fully alive, that you are the most fully alive you that you can be, both here and ultimately. And all who receive this full life, as a matter of fact, the word fully alive from the original language means to be vitalized. Isn't that something? To be revitalized or vitalized. It means to get resurrection power. Everybody who trusts in Christ, the day you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got vitalized. But for what purpose? And you know what? The reason why he made you alive, we're made alive to be fully alive, for you to be fully alive, the most fully alive you can be in life here and in eternity. And you say, well, okay, we're going to be fully alive for what reason? Well, first of all, for fellowship. I mean, think about this. I think it's a mistake a lot of people think like this. They think that I'm going to give my life to Jesus, he's going to make a better person out of me. And that ought to happen. I mean, it is sorted right. But the main reason Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead wasn't to make a nice guy out of you. It wasn't to make a nice lady out of you, although I'm for that. Some of you, that'd be a good idea. But that wasn't the main reason. The main reason was that you might have a friendship with God, to bring you together with God so that you could have intimacy with God. Now, the result of that is that you're going to be changed and you're going to be brought more and more into his character. But his main reason was not just to make a nice person out of you. In other words, you're just going to get enough religion, you know, kind of like the, you know, do unto others kind of thing, and as you'd want to be treated, and you're going to be a nicer person, a little bit of religion, but you're not, it doesn't really have that much to do with God. No. Everything Jesus came to do was, his whole focus was to bring you to God. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Here's why. So that he might bring us to God. He wants to bring you to God. The purpose of this new life, being made alive, is that you could have this intimacy with God so nothing would get between you and God, that you could walk with him. And when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like stressing, you know what I'm talking about, and you can't get your mind to shut off, you can go to him and you could say, look, Lord, I cast all my cares upon you. I cried to the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. So you can have that kind of relationship, that you can cry out to him and he'll give you the peace that surpasses all understanding because you bring your needs to him. You see, the purpose of this is that you would have intimacy. You'd be able to be a friend of God. You're made alive to be fully alive. That's what he did it for. Remember, my favorite title, you'll understand why it's my favorite title for Jesus. When people talked about him, they gave him certain titles. And this was a title given by his enemies. It was a criticism. But you, knowing me, you will probably know why I like this one best. He was a friend of sinners. Jesus was known for being a friend of sinners. And you know, I'm a sinner, so I'm glad that he wants to be my friend. For God has not destined us for wrath, the Bible tells us, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are alive, in other words, whether you're living or whether we are awake or asleep, in other words, whether you're living or you're dead, either way, you can live. We will live together with him. Do you get the idea that the whole gospel is not just about you feeling better and being self-actualized or being a nicer guy or a nicer woman or a nicer wife or a nicer husband, nicer mom or nicer dad? It is so that you will live with him. And by the way, all those other good things that we'd like to be more loving, and they all come out of that, but you have to live together with him. And then he says, this is how we live together as a community, as a church. This is why we need each other. Therefore, encourage one another. So easy to get discouraged. And build up one another, just as you were doing. You see, we are made alive through the power of the resurrection to be fully alive for each other, to encourage each other. You encourage your wife and your husband, and you encourage your husband, and you see, we are part of God's family, and we're part of each other's family. There was a lady that got baptized in the earlier service, and she was telling, her family was all here, and she was telling, her name's Sherry, and Sherry was here, and a lot of her family came, and she said that she had been coming to church, and last Father's Day, she came on Father's Day, and she said, well, she didn't have her children, her life was pretty rough, and she said, this message may not do me much good. I'm not a father, obviously. And I don't even remember saying this. I'm so good, I didn't even remember that. Okay? But here's what she heard me say. I don't even know if I said it. But she said, this is what the Lord said to her last Father's Day. She said, if you will make your life get in right fellowship with God, God will begin to heal the relationships around your life. Now remember, she had not had any contact with her children for 9 years. And she said, I thought, well, okay, that sounds good. And she said, God really spoke to me, and I just decided I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm just going to let him make me alive and change my life no matter what. I'm not making it conditional. You know what happened, she said? 2 days later, She didn't know where her kids lived, they didn't know where she was. She said, it couldn't happen, they don't know where I am. Her niece found her on Facebook 2 days later. And then after 3 or 4 days, both her son and her daughter reconnected with her. And then now she lives next door to her daughter and babysits her grandkids. So it's all kind of, and they were all here today, and her mom was here today even, and her mom was like major hallelujah lady. She was like doing that, you know. What I'm trying to say is what God does is this. He changes our lives. And when he changes your life and you let him change your life, when you let him make you alive to be fully alive, what happens is, don't forget, your life affects people. They don't even know it. You can't tell. You know, when you're living for God, they're affected by that. When you're not living for God, of course, that has its own wake as well. But we're made alive to be fully alive, not just for fellowship with God and each other, but we're made alive to be fully alive for forgiveness. I mean, it's so that you can experience God's forgiveness. I mean, what crushes us so much of the time is, and why we have all this energy burned up being defensive and being, you know, angry and blaming people. This feeds that kind of hopelessness and negativity. What happens is, it's when we begin to really see how absolute his forgiveness is for us, then all of a sudden we can begin to get loose of that. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, listen to what he says. He made you alive together with him. You're with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Isn't that great? You see, he rose from the grave. Why? Why is that important? I mean, we'll all say, yeah, he died on the cross for our sins. But that means nothing unless there's a resurrection. If somebody says, hey, I'm going to die for all your sins. And then you die. Okay. Big deal. Everybody dies. But Jesus said, I'm going to die for all of your sins so you can be totally forgiven. And then Jesus rose up from the grave. Why? To prove that it was paid, that he could do it, that he had the power to overcome even overcome sin and death. This is why Paul said in Romans, in chapter 4, he says, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions, and he was raised for our justification. He was raised to show that you could be absolutely, totally forgiven. So you can be made alive to be fully alive. And you know what happens when you experience that forgiveness? Suddenly you all of a sudden realize, man, I don't need to waste all this energy keeping score, because God isn't keeping score on me anymore. God's forgiven me, so I guess if I want to be like him and I don't want to be under this, in this place, I can forgive too. I can find the grace. He gives me the life to be able to forgive and experience forgiveness. The third thing, though, is that brings me to this. The purpose of you being made alive, to live fully alive and have that full life, is so that you can live a life of freedom. You know, I don't know about you, but I find myself this way sometimes, and you may find yourself this way today. I just want to tell you, I don't find myself that way, this way today. And so this is a good day for me, so you can listen to what I have to say. If I was having a really bad day, maybe not. But you may find yourself and you feel trapped. You just do. You feel like, man, I don't want to feel like this. I don't want to think like this. I don't want to live like this. And you might feel really anxious. You're really anxious. And you may feel really hopeless at times, kind of desperate. You may find yourself tangled up in your own anger at yourself or other people or how things, maybe even God. You just feel trapped. But you know, listen to this. This is so important that you listen. This is what Ephesians 2 says. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. Now think about that. That doesn't get much worse than that. You're a goner. Your sin has got you at a place where you are a goner. You're done. You're dead. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. He made us alive again. By grace you're saved. It's completely a gift. He makes you alive, even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And so since Jesus has the power to overcome death, he can make you alive to overcome anything. Like, you look at the thing you're struggling with, it might be a habit, or it might be a way of thinking, or a situation you're in where you're just like, I mean, life is hard. He's not saying it's all going to just go away, but how are you going to find the strength to deal with that in a positive way? He says, if the power of the resurrection lives in you, what can't you overcome? But if Paul says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give to you, to your mortal bodies, also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You know what he's saying? When you give your life to Christ, the power of the resurrection comes to live in you. And he literally gives life to your mortal body. Your physical body, your physical manifestation in this world is filled up with the presence of God so that you can live your life in a full way. You can live a life of freedom. Even when you feel like you're a goner, like, man, I'm just done. My life is shot. I'm done. You know what? His resurrection life will free you. You know, I was thinking about this Easter. You know, this is my 35th Easter here. And this has been a tough year or so. For a lot of you, you've been through really tough stuff. A lot of us have been through tough stuff. Sometimes I can feel really tempted to be really crushed. You know, the losses, I look out here and I look at this crowd and I think there are many loved faces that we see no more. And I can't help myself. I look for them. I look for these people that have been my friends and I've loved. They're gone. And I could give you the list. I could go down the list, but I don't want to, you know, there's just too many. And I know that you miss them also, and it's not just when you come here. It's, You think about places you go, and maybe it's when you go home and you think about, wow, they're just not here. And you know, my heart has been crushed, and I don't know about you, when your heart feels crushed, do you feel tempted sometimes? I do. You know, like, this is one temptation that can get a hold of me. Like, I have somebody who they're just awesome person, I love them, or somebody who's I really cared about, or somebody who was really important to me that I loved them, and they're gone. They're gone with the Lord. And then I think, what about that guy? How come he's still here? I know you guys are way too godly to be like that, but I'm like that sometimes. And then I remember. Then I remember the best news of all. That we were made fully alive. We were made alive to be fully alive, to live forever. Then I remember that. Then I remember that this isn't it. They're not lost. I know where they are. They're not gone forever from my arms. That's why Paul says, if we hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who sleep. And what he means by that is he's the pioneer. He's the trailblazer. He knocked the bottom out of the grave. And all those who have gone on trusting in him, it's not like they're gone forever. That's why he finishes out this great chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. It's full of mystery and marvel in this amazing chapter on the resurrection. He says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is in sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? One day, the victory is won. One day we get to experience it. That's why the Apostle Paul says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died. It's a euphemism for those that have died. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. I don't want you to live your life hopelessly. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. See, I remember that because he lives, they will live also. And so will I. I'm going to see them. And so you know what I think? Here's what I imagine in my mind when I have those moments where I feel tempted. Maybe your day is like that today. I have that picture in my mind. I really do. That I will see that those sweet faces again. I'll see them again. I imagine it. I'm going to see them again. They're going to be full, more alive than they've ever been, more alive than I've ever been, and I'm going to see those sweet faces again. And you know, I'm going to see the sweetest face of them all, and that'll be the face of Jesus. And you know what he says he'll do? He says he himself will wipe away all your tears. You know something? Jesus isn't saying, oh, give your life to me, you'll have no tears. Man, life is a, like Augustine, the church father, said, it's a veil of tears. But he says, one day, he says, he himself is going to wipe away all your tears. And when I remember that, then I can live fully alive, because I don't have to live my life, and neither do you, alone and hopeless, full of guilt or shame or confusion, feeling angry, feeling trapped, living my life fearing death or fearing the death, fearing my friends, you know, and the people I care about, fearing their death. I could be made alive so I can really fully live. I want to really live all out. So how can you be made alive? Well, you can be made alive through Christ. And you can be made alive so that you can have the fullest life possible, that Zoe life where he says, I came that you might have life and life in all of its fullness. But he says you must be in Christ. That's why it says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You say, well, what do I do? What's my part? Well, let me give you three words that even a Baptist can remember, okay? The three T's. You ready? Okay? You don't even have to write them down. You'll just be able to remember them, I think. There's a chance. Okay, it's slim, but it's out there. Number one, you have to turn. You have to turn from yourself, from trying to fix yourself, when trying to just indulge yourself and live for yourself and heal yourself or whatever you're doing. It's not wrong to want to do better, but you must turn from yourself and you must turn from sin. Because you see, when you try and fix yourself without God, it's really an affront. You turn from self, you turn from sin, those things that so easily entangle you, those things that keep grabbing you and pulling you back in. You turn from running your own life. You know, this is the way we live our lives. I'm going to handle this, I'm going to do it. And sometimes it's not conscious. We just leave God out. We just live our life as though we're practical atheists, that God doesn't exist. And so we have to turn from that and turn to trust. We have to turn to Him. We have to see that it is Him that, if we are going to be made alive, you can't make yourself alive. He has to do it. He's the life giver. And then secondly, once you've turned, you have to trust. This is hard for us. Show me the facts, right? Give me all the details. If Jesus would come down from the ceiling and appear to me, then I'd trust Him. That's kind of the mentality we have. Or show me all the evidence. And by the way, there is a lot of evidence for the resurrection. You can spend a lot of time. You can study books. If you need to do that to have a satisfied mind, that's great. But folks, let me break it to you. Break it to you clearly. No matter who you are and how much information you need and how many facts you need, in the end, you're still going to have to trust. Because you can't go back to the tomb and see firsthand Jesus rise from the dead. At some point, on some level, you're going to have to trust Him. And it won't be, your mom and dad can't do it for you, your husband can't do it for you, your pastor can't do it for you, nobody can do it for you. This is you. This is all on you. You have to trust Him for yourself. See, I choose to trust Him. I'm going to trust in His death and resurrection. You have to do it for yourself. And then the third thing is, you have to tell. This relationship between trusting and telling is so fascinating. That's why he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, there's this relationship between, as you trust Him for yourself and He fills your life with His life, you begin to tell other people about it. You can't really help it. I'll give you an example. Like, people get really into stuff, right? Like their job or our money, our sports, or whatever. What's something people are really into? An example? What? Come on. Well, you could be into drugs, but that wouldn't be one of my choices. What's that? Okay, like maybe you're into your technology, you could be into anything. Anything that you're really into, what do? You talk about it. You get with your friends, you talk about it. It may not be a bad thing, it's just what you talk about. It's whatever fills your heart ends up coming out of your inner life. And that what comes out of your inner life will begin to come out of your mouth. Now maybe you're quieter than some people and you're more, you know, reserved. But you will end up talking about it. It might be politics. It might be whatever just filling your life. You're just yakking it up all the time. Well, you know what? That's why when he says this, you turn from running your own life and you trust him and he fills you. He makes you alive in Christ. He fills you. His spirit bears witness is your spirit. You become a partaker of the divine nature. And what begins to come out of your life is you begin to talk about it. You begin to confess him. You begin to talk to others and talk about and express your heart. You might be nervous and they might not always receive it well, but you're going to begin to express your heart fully alive and you're going to be sharing your life with others. So powerful. And so salvation really comes, this new life comes to you when you turn from doing it yourself, trust him personally, and then you begin to share what he's done in your life. It just happens. You're going to see it. Like these folks did, one of the first steps that people do is to get baptized. There's a lot of those folks that got baptized this morning. They just were excited. They just wanted to do it. The one guy almost pulled me under. He was so excited. And that's a first. He kind of did that. I started to lean him back, and he just decided to like do a, just to bend his knees, and he just went. And so I kind of went like this, and then what can you do? I mean, hey, you just laughed about it. It was the first time I ever lost a patient. It was exciting. Yeah, something like that. But you know, they were, and he was like, it was, you know, it was a joyful, it was an awesome experience. May have missed a little bit in the symbolism of it all, but hey, whatever. You know, let me do a little, I want to do a non-scientific poll, so indulge me. I'm not going to, there's no trick to this. This isn't a pulpit trick, you know, where the preacher asks you a question and then he drags you forward. That's not what I'm doing, okay? You know how that works. So would you bow your heads and just close your eyes, and I want you to just think for a second about my question. You're here today, and you think about your life, and you say, I'm sure I've turned, and I've trusted. I am sure that I've turned, and I've trusted my life in Christ. I am sure that I have been made alive by Christ. You're just sure about that today. You know, down in your heart, that you're confident of this. You have assurance. If that's true for you, I'd like you just to raise your hand up real high, okay? Awesome. That's great. I'm glad that you're sure. That's so good. Okay. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is my non-scientific poll. You're here, and you have heard about this today, and maybe you've been in church, but you're not really sure for yourself. But you want to be sure. You're not sure, but you want to be sure. I'd like you just to raise your hand up real high. I'm not going to trick you. Okay, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for doing that. You're here today, and you want to be fully, you want to be made alive so that you can live fully alive. You really do want to do that. You just, no matter where you're at, you want to start really living your life, be made alive by Christ, to live fully alive for Christ. You want that for your life from here on out, no matter where you started. I'd like you just to raise your hand up. You'd like that. Just raise it up real high, okay? Raise it up. Thank you. Thank you. All right. You know, there's an old church father named Irenaeus, and he lived way back in like the 3rd century. And here's what he said. He said, it is the glory of God. The glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. That means you living your life out to the fullness is the one thing that God, living for God, bringing him glory. That's what your whole purpose is. You know, I'd like you to do this. Would you take, I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to do something else. Lord Jesus, I pray for my friends here, and I'm so excited about those ones that are really sure, really confident of their, they have assurance that they've received your new life. They've been made alive by you, but they want to live fully alive. They want to live their life all out. They don't want to be trapped. They want to be free. They want to know forgiveness and experience forgiveness. They want to be able to walk in fellowship with you and with their family and friends. They want to have the confidence. They want to have that certainty and that hope of forever and boiling out of their life every day. And I pray today that you would do something about what was said, something about what they heard, something about what they experienced that would help them come to that place. And for many, that they'd not only be vitalized, but for others that have been kind of drifting, they'd be revitalized today. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Now I'd like you to take that little robin's egg blue card. Okay, it looks like this. Would you take that and put it in your hands? Just put this in your little fingers, okay? And this is the way we communicate with you guys. This is the way you can communicate with us and we can communicate with you. We don't do anything you don't want us to do except pray. We'll just pray for you. So one of the ways that you can have us pray for you and know what God's doing in your life is you put your name on it. And a way we can get a hold of you, whether that's if you want a letter or you want a phone number, or email, or whatever, we'll get a hold of you. And the reason why is we meet as a staff, just our staff, and we meet for hours, and we pray for every card. And if it's appropriate for us to respond in some way, we will, especially if you want us to. But there are some specific, message-specific responses that I want you to consider today. Number one, you'll see that in that little box. I'm turning from going my own way, and I'm going to go toward God. That's point one. That's the most important one. That you are going to turn from just handling everything your own way and living your own life the way you just want to without thinking about what God wants, and you're going to turn toward God. That's really important. Number two, I trusted Jesus' death and resurrection for forgiveness and asked him to be made alive. To live fully alive. That's such an important step that you see that today and that you might want to check that. And we would pray, I pray that you'll check that and that you really mean it. And then I commit to tell others about my faith. I commit to tell others about my faith, just as a natural overflow of your life. For some of you, it's going to be appropriate if you say, I commit to be baptized as soon as possible. And we will do that. We'll help you. We'll help you walk through it. We won't pressure you, but we'll help you. And I commit to live fully alive in his power. So important. Now, I don't want anybody else. I know I got my banjo out and people started leaving. I know. Banjo players are kind of sensitive. Even these guys. See? It's like the guy said, what do you call? Somebody said this the other day. What do you call a banjo player in a three-piece suit? A defendant.